Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It's our last podcast of the year. And as is tradition, what we do at the last podcast of the year, for the last podcast of the year, is the 909 podcast awards. Basically, a collection of made up categories in order to shoehorn whatever we want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet, or to give our flowers to a particular song or artist or album or whatever it is. It just hasn't fit anywhere else in the last couple of weeks with the best of. So yeah, Andrea, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you? Happy Christmas. I feel like it's...
Here's a virtual clink for you for with my... Let's pretend we're having our...
Clink.
Annual alcoholic beverage, which we're not.
We're having tea on my side and water on your side. Not even
I'm
a little bit of squash.
Today.
A little bit of my water. No,
God, no. God, no. We won't be doing that. No. Yeah, so what are we going to do on this podcast? Yeah, what are we going to do on this podcast? We're going to talk about some randoms. Anyone who knows our last podcast of the year previously will know some of our well-known categories. Best Rap Verse, aka the Andre 3000 Award. I'm not sure he even did a verse this year, but we will find out. Yeah, we have a load of made-up categories to go with. And as we just go into it. Let's go into it.
Okay.
Our first... Do you have any nominations for best sax solo? Because I have two from this year that I can think.
I can't believe you have two.
Yeah.
No, I have none.
Okay.
So excited to hear yours.
Right. Well, I'll start with a runner-up one, will I? Because that might make sense. Mm-hmm. I've got two. One is one that is very close to my heart because it's a band I manage. He's called Skinner and he released a song this year called The Slump. And there's a great sax solo in it. I'm going to play it now. Skinner and The Slump. Here we go. Skinner and The Slump, I thought I'd include that because it was one of those. Well, I guess I listened to a lot of that sax solo this year because I manage the band and manage Aaron, and it's great. It's really good. I love
but
it.
I mean, Niall, look, we're very early in the podcast and already there's questions about the validity of these awards. As the manager of Skinner, could you not have just taken Aaron aside and said, look, there's an award at the end of the year for best sax solo.
I mean,
I think you should go for it, man.
It's already. This is yours to own.
People are going to be calling this into question. Oh, can I just say one thing at the start of the
Please
episode?
Please do, yeah.
Dolmans. I'm aware now that it's Dolmans. Oh, yeah. Thank you to everybody.
I couldn't remember what anyone was
who
saying.
Who DM'd me.
Two people in Discord.
Two people in Discord. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for that.
It was discussed in person at the Discord meetup at the Merchant Christmas over the weekend. Yeah. along with many other things.
So there was a word that you used.
Yeah, it was the doldrums. It was
doldrums.
The Billy Woods song.
That's
and
it.
And I didn't know what you were talking about.
And I was thinking of dolmens. Yeah.
Dolmens.
So thank you.
I mean, fair.
It's
close. It's
to
close.
To all of you, all at least 10 people. So thanks for that, everyone.
Well, that's good to know they were paying attention. Mm. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I have another best sax solo, and you know this already. I'm pretty sure you know this.
Okay.
It's the 1975 and it's Happiness.
Yeah.
Of course it is. But with all great, you know, sax solos, you kind of have to build it up. You have to let it breathe.
Second time the 1975 have been nominated for this. They're one time winners. Yeah, I think Too Shy.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Thinking correctly.
Mm. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of others, and I'd love to hear some more of your favorite sax solos of the year, listener. Please do let us know. Either at podcast@909.com or in the Discord if you're in there. You can join through patreon.com/909. But here is Happiness from the 1975 with the sax solo.
That band,
yeah. That's Happiness,
that
1975.
Band. They're and I love that very, band.
Very adept. You're really embracing it this year, aren't you?
Do you know what? Right,
even so more than before.
I was at a little small Christmas event at the weekend on Saturday evening, and Craig Fitzpatrick of the No Encore podcast was there, and we were talking about the 1975 and Matty Healy and the problematic fave issue. You know, it never goes away. It was 2019. You and I talked about it, but it never goes away. And I just said to him, because he's also a fan, and I said to him, look, the thing is, I'm a 32-year-old woman. I'm aware of all the nuances and difficulties in stanning a man who is not the most kind of straight-laced pop star in that he wades into problematic territories. But as a woman of the world who is, you know, educated in pop music, I've just decided that I'm not going to feel bad and I'm just going to fancy him. So that's my big revelation this year is I'm actually just going to embrace how much I love the 1975 and how much I love Matty Healy, and I don't actually really care about thinking about it too deeply. So it's not too deep of the year. Matty
it's
Healy.
Not too deep. Very good. Very good. He is very charismatic, in fairness to him.
He sure is. Will I give you a
Yeah. What have you got? Okay. What have you got for me? You haven't sent me your songs actually.
Following on from last year, there's no songs for this one actually, but following on from last year, we did a category last year, which was the thing I wish would go away. Last year I chose reissues and reappraisals of Nirvana's Nevermind album. but this year, the award is shared between four men, and they are, in no particular order, Piers Morgan, Jeremy Clarkson, Kanye West, and Elon Musk. I'm aware only one of those men is a musician, but I just wanted to mention them all. I wish that all of them would have their platforms removed from them until they learn how to be in the world with other people.
Okay, that's Andrea's gripe corner there.
Gripe corner done. getting in there early. I think most of the things are positive.
You include one musician, so that's allowed.
One musician, yeah, and it's Kanye. And I don't wish Kanye West would go away, but I wish his presence on the internet and on people's I just think it's been a year for Kanye. It's been a year for Kanye fans. It's very, very tricky, and
it's hard to talk about, and I don't really want to talk about it because it's very depressing. No, I just mean, you know, it's like he needs help. The man needs help. We know that.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Do you have another award you'd like to give out?
Yeah. I'm going to. Okay. Right. I've one award, two nominees. Best TikTok music trend. As you know, Niall, this was the year that I joined TikTok after talking about how I would never do it. I joined it this year. It's great. Everyone should do it. So best TikTok music trend. My first nomination is the 1975, funnily enough, with the don't like menthols trend. Do you know it?
Don't throw menthols on this stage.
That is.
That's all. But it went very, very viral to the point where that song now, he just begins that song with Don't Like Menthols and the whole crowd is shouting it. And it's just one of those things where it's like TikTok and the internet. And like we've seen a lot with Harry Styles as well, with like certain dance crazes that happen at his shows that spread on the internet, which means that like at every show people are going to be doing the same dances. They're all going to be shouting Leave America at the same time. It's very cute. And it's the same thing with the 1975. And this was everywhere on my TikTok. This was all over the place on my TikTok. And it's been in my head for about 3 weeks. Just the way he sings Don't Like Menthols. And also a confession from me, I just didn't really think about the fact that they were menthol cigarettes, and I just had it in my head that someone had thrown menthos, like sweets,
right? Yeah,
like minty sweets, but they didn't. It was menthol cigarettes. My other TikTok music trend is a very, very late entry, in that it only appeared over the past couple of days. So following it's like two worlds colliding on TikTok, which is something I really like. It's football TikTok and Taylor Swift fan cam TikTok. So Taylor Swift's song this year, You're On Your Own Kid, the third verse of it is like very, you know, inspiring, and you can do this, and, you know, we might play it in a second. And then Lionel Messi TikTok, those two things just combined. So when Argentina won the World Cup, there was just all of these like fan cams of like Messi through the years, like not winning the World Cup, but like winning sometimes. And it's like just these like struggles, but it's like done in the style of like a K-pop, like, fan cam.
I'm a bit lost, I'll be honest. I haven't seen
beautiful.
This, so I don't know what she's talking
it's
about.
Just it's just like an inspiring video to that song with Lionel Messi videos on it.
I see.
It's not that deep.
Okay.
But it was the collision of like football TikTok and Taylor Swift fan cam TikTok that just brought me a lot of joy. It was very, very cute.
I have a TikTok, I don't use it, I'd say. So I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. Other than the Rosalia one I sent you, because I was looking at it again because it came up in an article I read.
Yeah. Do you look at TikTok though? Like, do you scroll it?
No, I don't. I don't really. Okay. I have it. I did for a while, but I find it just really distracting, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't have time to give the algorithm what it wants, you know, to learn.
Oh,
about
I
me.
See what you mean.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, I just keep getting like, whatever's popular in Ireland kind of thing, you know? So like, I just don't really care.
Yeah.
So that's me and TikTok. The other thing that we were talking about actually at the Discord meetup in the Grand Social at Merch Christmas was sped up TikTok songs as a trend. Mm. That's a weird thing that's happening. That Ghost band who had that track go viral and then release the sped up versions. It's a weird trend. It's a weird thing that happens. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but
it is. Some of them work for me. Like, I think ABBA's Angel Eyes is really great when it's sped up in that way. I think it's really cute. But then some other ones don't work as well for me.
I think it just reminds me of like the OG sped up version.
The Ghost song is interesting because the Ghost one is interesting because that was actually a slowed down version that they re-released. Yeah, yeah. Their one was slowed.
Well, slowed down, yeah.
Which they aren't usually, because like you can understand them speeding it up because they want to get all of the lyrics into a short video if the lyrics are in some way like relevant to the video. But the slowing down one was just a mood piece, which I find really, really interesting. And it's beautiful. It's like really, really nice.
Well, I guess like slowing things down on the internet has been happening for a long, long time. Think about that Justin Bieber song from 10 years ago, whatever it was, that people slowed down.
Oh, it's amazing.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But the sped up trend kind of just reminds me of the original sped up song, which is of course is Babylon Zoo and Spaceman, which is, you know, it's hilarious because the actual original song is terrible because they sped it up for the ad. And then I remember when they were on Top of the Pops that time in the 90s and you're like, oh, the actual song is crap. Like,
I was only
really
watching the episode
bad.
Of Brass Eye last night with him
Jazzman.
I think is it the drugs episode?
Yeah, I think so.
And I was like to Harry, I was like, who's he? And he was like, Spaceman. And immediately I knew who he was. I was like, ah, okay. I think Chris Morris asked him, like, are you a genius? And he's like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
It's great. Okay. It's so good.
Good man yourself. Good man yourself. Okay. I'm going to pick a, let's just give it its flowers. It is, I'm going to pick, well, I have two choices, but you know what? I'm going to go with the big one first because the best song I discovered it in film or TV this year is this absolute banger. That is, of course, the theme song to White Lotus from Cristobal Tapia
de
Vere. Yeah, season two. Renaissance main titles theme.
This was the winner of one of my categories as well, which I was going to bring up later, which is Song of the Year that isn't released as a song.
I mean, it's a song. It's definitely a song.
It's definitely a song, but not released.
Wasn't intended to be a real song.
As
to serve a purpose of title sequence.
I like got up off my couch and danced to that song.
I mean, I'm one of those people who played this in a club twice already.
Skip credits. I don't know her. Like it is such a good tune, and it's funny. So I watched like White Lotus season one and then immediately, like in the same night, moved on to season two. And when it started playing, I was like, because I love the season one theme, I was like, yeah, this is great. And then when it started playing and it was slow, I was like, oh no, don't do this. And then it just builds and then explodes, and I was like, yes,
it's a lot of fun.
This is great. And that night I was dancing alone in my house to the White Lotus theme song. And there's not many songs that'll have me doing that.
Well,
so,
I will say I was encouraged, gently encouraged to play this by Katie, my partner, and down in Dingle. And we were just sitting around the house with my pals and we were like, I was like, oh, it actually does. It's the same key as Biceps Apricots. And so I was like, I'll just do it that. And then I just ended up playing it. And I ended up playing it at Lumo last week as well.
I've seen the video and it's great.
There's a video on my Instagram. It's great. You want to have a look of another nine of me playing that, which was good crack. The other thing I was thinking about was songs that I heard and that resonate with me from other, mostly TV actually, this year. And I have two choices from one specific show. Might even be the same episode, certainly season. Is it two or two of Euphoria? So yeah, that was this year, much to Andrea's dismay. And there was two songs that stood with me from that, both old ones actually. There was one song by Chris Rea that was used, I Can Hear Your Heartbeat, if you remember that one from this from the show. Let's play a bit of that here. I think that's used in the dad. Remember the dad, the closeted dad who goes to a gay bar at some point. I think that's around
that's
that
a great
time.
Episode.
Or maybe it's one of the flashback episodes. The other song that I heard for the first time, I think maybe, well, that definitely I remembered for hearing is the Billy Swan cover of the Elvis song Don't Be Cruel, which really is used beautifully in Euphoria. Here's the bit of the song.
I'm sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least on the telephone.
Of course, that show had a number of great uses of music, and I mean, it just crammed things in. I think, what was it, Sinead O'Connor was used in it as well. What's the name of the song?
Yeah.
Letter and than War.
Even the original music that was
Labyrinth.
Composed for it.
Drink Before the War.
Just like that Labyrinth Zendaya collab, I think it's All For Us, is just so powerful and so brilliant. Like the music in that show is unbelievable. Yeah. I thought it was last year.
I mean, fair enough. I went back and had a look. Yeah.
Feels like so long ago.
I don't think it was last year. I don't think it was. I think it's this year. Season two.
Look, even if it is, it's our
Yeah, it was February.
Our podcast,
it was the start. Start of the year. That feels like a long, long time ago. All right, your turn.
It's a great
Give an
show.
Award, please.
My turn. Okay, who are we going to give it? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have an award for, much like the Oxford English Dictionary, we'll talk about the word of the year. I have a word, the word of the year, in my opinion, goes to Nepo Baby, which is a nepotism baby, a New York Magazine release, I think yesterday, like an amazing cover. If you can look it up, Niall, or I'll send it to you here. It's brilliant. It's she has her mother's eyes and agent, extremely overanalyzing Hollywood's Nepo Baby boom. And I mean, in terms of music, you know, we're talking people like Maya Hawke. We're talking about Jada Smith. Like, you cannot move for the Nepo Babies in music. And I just think it's a great word for what it is, for kind of calling to attention the fact that people in the music industry do not have the same beginnings in the music industry. And if you grow up with parents who are musicians especially, but even if they're actors or if they're in some way, you know, in show business, you are going to have more of an opportunity. I don't think it's as fair to say, like, I think especially in music, I think it's easier to put someone in a film and have them do a bad performance and get away with it, because the film will just come out and it will make money kind of regardless. But with music, you kind of still have to be good. Like, so like Willow, for example, is an artist who I think is really good, but she is the daughter of, like, you know, the Smiths. But like you'll have access to like really good music lessons or a studio or like expensive instruments, and you'll just kind of grow up in an environment where creativity is very much encouraged, you know, both like in the situation and financially. And I think that Nepo Baby is an extremely good word of the year for this year, because it's kind of only now that we've put a word on it. Like, we've talked about it in culture for a long time, but now we have a word for it. And I don't think it should be used to like take away any success from people, but it's just, it's something that is like, it's worth being aware of.
I hadn't heard that till now. Did you see what the Oxford word of the year was?
Oh, I did, and I can't remember what it was now.
Goblin mode.
Goblin mode. First kind of non-pandemic specific one in a couple of years, because I think before we had like social distancing and
Colin's word of the year is permacrisis.
Permacrisis. Yeah, I don't love goblin mode as the word of the year. I think there are more ubiquitous words than goblin mode. I feel like goblin mode is just like kind of one, not everybody would know what goblin mode meant in the same way that everybody would know what like social distancing meant.
The other one, but the more, I mean, you've heard a lot this year, is quiet quitting. Like the practice of doing
I love that. I think that should have probably been
contractually obliged to do, which we should be all doing this week. Hope you are all quiet quitting right
now. You're all quiet quitting. I saw another one that was like chaotic overachieving, which is, it's the opposite of quiet quitting, where you just keep annoying your boss of like, can I do more? Can I do more? How can I do more? Until they're just like, please stop. Please, you like, and they'll literally stop asking you to do stuff. So that's another thing to consider for anyone who's who's quiet quitting.
Well, the Goblin Mode was actually a public vote. So these other ones were I Stand With and Metaverse. So,
Metaverse is a good one, and I Stand With is a good one as well.
There you go. Okay.
Signs of the Times.
That was a fun lesson in Wordles. Remember Wordles? That was this year.
Wordle,
that was this
year.
Oh my god.
My dear partner is still doing his Wordle every day. He does his fucking quadruple septurtle. He's sitting there with like 140 like squares on a screen, putting letters into them.
Terrible.
And I'm like, this is insane. But he also does like cryptic crosswords and stuff. It was a good year for Harry, in terms of access to puzzles.
Okay, well, from words to another four-letter word to the club. We're going to the club. I want to play a few different tracks very quickly, just to give them a bit of a shout out. I'm going to play first the best 90s sounding club track of the year, a track that was very popular all over, really. It is by Eliza Rose and Interplanetary Criminal. It's called The Baddest of Them All, and it sounds like this.
Oh god.
That was a bit of a sleeper hit this year, that eventually became just this massive.
It wasn't on TikTok.
Really, yeah, that became the massive club tune.
It was huge on TikTok.
Okay, very good. And the other one I wanted to share from this year, other than obviously we talked about Kieran Hebden's Looking at Your Pager and a few other tunes like Over Mono, but and I did mention Two Shell, but I want to give it Two Shell another shout out here for that song Home, because it's It's such a high tempo track that it's really hard to play, and I really need to play it at some point, and I never get around to playing it. It is this song, of course. We may have mentioned that last week as well in Songs of 2022. And another one, I love sharing older songs because I spend a lot of time away from the website and the podcast, like listening to old stuff for DJ wise. And I again, this is another very high tempo song, but one that gave me a lot of joy this year. It was in my most played songs of the year, but because it was old, I didn't get the chance to bring it anywhere. So this is an old tune from DJ Rashad, In the Club Before 11 o'clock. I love how this goes. It's a bit of fizzy energy for sure. In the club for 11 o'clock, I'm trying to catch it down kind of early. In the club for 11 o'clock, I'm trying to catch it down kind of early. In the club for 11 o'clock, I'm trying to catch it down kind of early. In the club for 11 o'clock, I'm trying to catch it down kind of early. In the club for 11 o'clock, I'm trying to catch it down kind of early. That's DJ Rashad. I love that hook there. DJ Rashad, a footwork DJ, probably about 10 years ago or so. He passed away in 2014, actually. And I don't know what year was that song from? 2007. So that was one of those headphones tunes that I had a lot this year that was just like, whoa, I didn't realize I listened to it that much. I had heard it there's a very funny looking DJ called Party Boy 69 who played a few festivals this year, including ABA and Forbidden Fruit, and he does a lot of live sets on YouTube that are a lot of fun. And he did a lot of like these kind of high tempo hip house kind of G house footwork and electro kind of mixes, so that was a lot of fun this year. In terms of DJ mixes, actually, that is one I'd recommend if you haven't seen it. A lot of fun. And the Horse Meat Disco Boiler Room from Glasgow, I think, the Fly Open Air one, that's great crack. Young Marco from Deck Mantel, the one that where he played that Imogen Heap remix that I heard recently again. I don't think it's been released yet, but and then a local shout out for Moving Still's Boiler Room, who Moving Still is Jamal Sewell, and he's an Irish guy who makes a lot of Arabic electronic music, and I still think a lot of people need to hear what he's doing because he's a great DJ and a great producer, and he had a lot of stuff out this year that was great. One of my tracks of Irish tracks of the year, certainly, and tracks in general, is one of his from his most latest release, that's Moving Still. And then my favorite discovery, I discovered in a club this year. I'd never heard this before. It's a cover of a Pink Floyd song. It is by Rosebud, and it's 1977. So I was in New York in October and went to James Murphy's club, which was called Night Moves. And the DJ there played this song, which I had never heard before. I'd heard the flip side of it, funny enough. Rosebud is a cover of Money. So also a Pink Floyd. So let's have a listen to a little bit of this. This is Rosebud, Have a Cigar. Just nice buzz.
Bye.
That's from a dodgy YouTube rip, as you can hear, maybe. But yeah, no, I really love that song. It was one of those ones that I took home with me and played a couple of times. Nice to do that. And then finally, well, this is kind of, it's related to it, because I did hear this in a DJ mix and I was like, I'd heard it before. And it was actually, this was a song that was very popular in, we did a music league in Discord this year. So you basically, one of the music league, you basically pick a song based off a theme and people vote on it. And the band Jockstrap, who are a Scottish band, came up a number of times. And I remember they came up in the music league. And this song is one of those songs that definitely very fizzy. It's the fizziest song of the year. It's a great song that's potentially very annoying to a lot of people. So here's Jockstrap, 50-50. Sorry, I said they were from Glasgow. Jockstrap are actually from London. They're a weird band, and I've seen them a lot. Not this song now, but I've seen this, actually, song came out last year, November last year. It's kind of weird and annoying, but also it earworms into me as well.
I didn't mind it, except for a little.
There's a lot of squeak in that. Yeah, I didn't like that. It's the squeakiest song of the year. Let's say that it's the squeaky. Yeah. That's the award for squeakiest song of the year. It is Jockstrap and 50-50.
So I'm going to introduce a new annual award, which is Andrea Tries to Like More Electronic Music, and it's my electronic music song of the year. Electronic music song of the year. And you've already mentioned it, but it's Looking at Your Pager.
Ooh.
It's such a good song. I feel like it was maybe like the song of the Discord this year. Like, we all just loved it.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone went to see you at Lumo or at like festivals or anything.
Yeah, I played some Choose the Mercy Merchy Christmas last weekend. And a few of the lads were like, play, John, I think it was like, play, you should play Looking at Your Pager. Yeah. Give us a 5-minute warning. It's like, it was just too early.
Like, people were requesting it in the Discord while you were DJ at some stages. Like, it's the possibly, song of the Discord this year, and it's also my Andrea Tries to Listen to More Electronic Music song. It's just so good and so full of joy, and it's kind of relentless as well. It's great. It's just so good.
Yeah, here it is, Looking at Your Pager. Why, of course, that is Looking at Your Pager from Kieran Hebden, who had a lot of those kind of tunes this year. And actually, I didn't mention his live set from Glastonbury is one of the best mixes I enjoyed this year. I think it might still be up on the BBC, but he did it basically a live mix as, I don't know if it was listed as KH, but I think it was listed as KH, not Fortet.
And, I think so.
It's great. Yeah. It's really good. He did two. So the BBC. Oh, yeah, there's an hour. It's on YouTube, actually. The BBC Music Introducing Stage one is great. And then obviously he did his own one as well. So two of those sets.
Well, it's also connected to my one of my favorite festival moments of the year, which was me going to Another Love Story, my first festival since quitting drinking. So was, you know, on the CBD cans all day. And then we were on our way over to you, and I dropped an espresso before going over and came up during your set on my espresso. And this song came on and you also played Kylie Minogue. It wasn't Can't Get You Out of My Head. It was Love at First Sight.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah.
And I think you played those two songs like quite close to each other.
Yeah,
and
I have a recording of it actually on the Patreon.
This is the best DJ set I've ever been at. I had a lot of fun at that.
Yeah.
And I think I ran into some people from the Discord as well at that.
Yeah, I recorded all my DJ sets from the summer. So they're all actually on Patreon.
Oh, will you
Patreon.
Send me the Another Love Story one?
Yeah, 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 sure. They're all on Patreon already for anyone who signs up. So I actually have to share the other voices one this week. That's what I'll do. Okay.
Let's go with Best Live Gig. I have three nominees. They are CMAT at the Academy, Kevin Morby also at the Academy, and Niamh Regan at Other Voices, who I saw twice in one day, I believe. Yeah. Those are my three gigs of the year. I went to a good few gigs. I mean, Pavement was also good. I listened to our last year's podcast awards this morning before we recorded to get some ideas for. You had been to like, I think you said you'd been to like 40 events, like whether that's like DJ sets or gigs or whatever. And I was shit. And I hadn't been to anything. So it was really nice to listen to that and kind of look back at the year and look at how live music has really like come back into my life, and that I'm attending things and going to things, and I'm not afraid to be in a room, even though like there was times I was like Pavement, I was like slightly uncomfortable with being in a room with that many people, but it's, you know, you get over it. But yeah, it's really nice that gigs have come back with aplomb, and that I've been to so many this year. So those are just kind of three highlights from a year of really, really great gigs.
Great. I'd say some of the ones that stand out to me are Big Thief in the National Stadium, a beautiful gig, lovely experience all around. Just I really enjoyed. I was sitting kind of side of the stage as well, so I'm facing head on of the band, so I really enjoyed that. LCD Sound System at the Brixton Academy this summer, which was just a fantastic. As you know, if you've seen LCD, they're always good live. And
I assume also the ABBA Voyage experience is up there for you.
Same weekend. Yeah, I mean, technically it's a gig.
Yeah, it's a gig.
Like there was live musicians on stage, but it is, I wrote a piece about the ABBA Voyage thing. If you want to read it, it's on the website, 909. So have a look at that, because I think it's great and I think everyone should go, and I think you should make an effort to go to it because it's unlike anything you'll ever see. And it doesn't feel like you're being duped in any way. I think you just, you know, it's an amazing piece of performance and theater and technology as well, and also it's in a wonderful like location in this custom built arena as well, and so many speakers and lights, and you just never seen anything like it. And I think for that experience alone, just for the actual production of it,
do you know how long it's running
well
for
going? I think they extended it. It's running till next summer at least.
Okay,
again,
I can go then. I'll go with my sister-in-law.
I thought there was a lot of demand. Yeah, yeah. You should.
She lives
really
in London,
should. Like
so.
It is brilliant. Yeah, and it's just a fantastic experience. And other gigs, Kendrick, of course, this year was one of my big ones very recently in the Three Arena. One that I remember for the gig, but also because it's became called something else. It was the Caribou gig in Vicar Street, which was one of the first big ones that I got to go back to, because after everything opened in January, it was one of those first ones that hadn't cancelled and everyone went to. Now I did get COVID right afterwards, so I got it from there, but and everyone started calling the gig Caribou instead of Caribou, so that's what happened there.
I got COVID at the Choice Music Prize in March, which was the first thing I did. It was the last thing I did before COVID, and the first big event that I returned to was the Choice Music Prize. And yeah, look, we all got it.
Confidence Man, one or two. I saw them twice this year and I really enjoyed it a lot. They're good crack. Great crack, in fact. And then the personally, the Culture Night gig that we did in the
Huge
Fruit and Veg
achievement.
Market in Dublin, which apparently, which part, thank you, yeah, it's apparently the there have Dublin City Council have selected a design team to oversee the renovation.
Brilliant.
Of that, and hopefully if there's any chance there is going to be any kind of event in there or anything like that, then hopefully we showed. I know the councillors who came that night on Culture Night to see the Night Moves DJ sets and stuff have talked about how it should be for events down the line. So hopefully they listen to that, and hopefully there is more of that down the line. Other than that, Primavera this year, obviously an amazing experience overall. Very tiring, though, at the same time.
I have to give a shout out to Body and Soul as well. Just the best run festival I've ever been at was this year's Body and Soul. It was an absolute joy from start to finish. We were very lucky with weather and things like that as well, which I know makes a difference, but it was a brilliant festival, and I think the decision to kind of bring it down to 5,000 people was the right one, and everybody seemed to have a really lovely time, and it could be whatever festival you wanted it to be. Do you know what I mean? If you wanted the late night festival thing, you could have that. If you wanted to go back to your tent at, you know, 11 or 12 and have a sleep, you can have that as well. And I think good festivals kind of cater across the board for that kind of thing, and it was absolutely brilliant. It was great.
Yeah, with Primavera, obviously it's back announcing. I don't think I'm going to go next year. I think it's a hard thing to justify going 2 years in a row to that, although Primavera Porto looks very interesting as well. But I think I'm gonna lay off the European festivals.
I've never been to
year,
one
perhaps. Oh, no, I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah,
but
it's like the weather.
The weather is not an issue.
You're staying in like a room with a bed and a shower, and like that stuff also makes a difference. You know, it's a holiday. Yeah,
yeah,
and getting to kind of go around Barcelona and go to nice restaurants and kind of see the city and stuff as well is really nice as well. So,
do you remember what else happened this year? Harry Styles and his Tower Records bag. That was this year.
Yeah, it was this year. What award will we give him for that? Best celebrity who stood with a bag.
Best Matt Damon impression.
Best Matt Damon impression. Yeah, I have a photo of me. I think I sent it to you earlier in the year, of me down at Sea Point with a Tower Records bag. Doing my best Harry Styles impression. But yeah. Okay. Give us another award there, Niall.
Okay. My next award is a moment of appreciation for a passage of music in one of my favorite records this year. We talked about it briefly last week, but just briefly to touch on this, because it's part of a, you know, I like to point to the moments of beauty in music here and there. And this one is that for me this year. It is from Rosalía. It's Como on G, and it's this passage in the song.
Como un G de verdad, sin guardaespaldas voy por ahí. Que yo mato por ti. Cantándote baladas por la madrugada, ¿quién me lo iba a decir? Pero que dime, ¿quién se atreve a decirme a mí?
So that was Rosalía, Coma and G, from the album Motomami. Just a nice, lovely moment that I enjoyed a lot this year. Yeah, why not? Why not? This is what it's all about. The Podcast Awards is all about sharing little moments and little ideas and little bits that don't fit anywhere else. Okay, it's time for our favorite of the year.
Yes, one of our annual awards. It is the Best Rap Guest Verse, also known as the Andre 3000 Award. For me, he hasn't won it this year.
I don't think he did anything this year.
I don't think he did. But I mean, he gets an honorary mention in the title of the award. For me, it was MF Doom on Black Thought's Belize.
Oh, yeah.
For guest verse of the year. May he rest in peace. And what a lovely thing to be able to hear this verse from. I mean, I was talking about it last week. We don't know when it was recorded.
Yeah.
We don't really know much about it in terms of what sessions it was recorded in, but what a joy to hear something new from our recently passed goat.
Yeah, let's hear this. I'll skip into Belize featuring MF Doom.
Get rude with the dude off chips, the mood switch. He chewed off strips of a brood witch. Danger make a groove off a glitch. Major boo booty twitch and the crew rich, bitch. Always wanted to say that. Ever since the days in hallways taunting the stray cat. The one he often frequently slapped around. All the while waited then graduated cap and gown. Hated the rap sound, debated the crap until he felt he had it mapped down. Enough to have the game trapped and bound. Scratching the crown with the names of lames who yapped the noun. Or verb for that matter, had no data for a herb who chat chatter. Oh, Eric Estrada, fat rat, the mask made him batty as a mad hatter.
Ah, Doom, there's no one like him. There's no one like him.
I know. He's so like, I think the verse is so like in that style of his that I've really grown to love, which is like, he obviously has that lyrical dexterity. He has those really brilliant and often very funny internal rhymes, but he sort of like languishes in it. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but like he's not in a rush. He doesn't rap particularly like quickly, which is the kind of thing that we'd usually talk about, like good rappers being able to rap really quickly. His like tone of voice, everything is just so relaxed, as though he's just kind of sitting back in an armchair and this stuff is just like spilling out, and you get that from him on that track. So for me, he gets the Andre 3000 award awarded to him posthumously. Yeah. Do you have a
I don't have a guess for this category? And I don't have
It wasn't a big year for it. I mean, I was thinking about it today when I was, is it me or have the rap guest verses on pop songs basically disappeared?
Oh, yeah, disappeared? No, I think thankfully they
like,
have.
That's gone.
Yeah, mostly.
Like, how's Kendrick going to make his pocket
money? Oh, he's fine. He's fine.
Kendrick's fine.
He's got a double album doing quite well, and a tour based off the back of it, which... You know, and in terms of rap verses, one of the songs on that album, Mr. Morale, is up there for me. Worldwide Steppers is the song I would nominate, because you're talking about cadence and
for best
well,
rap
just
song.
Like he is doing that really quick style of rapping and switching it up, and then the beat switch up and all that stuff. It's just so good. Let's play a bit of that.
Text messaging bitches got my thumbs hurt. Set president for a new sack religion. Riders black for 2 years, nothing moved me. Ask God to speak through me. That's what you hear now, the voice of yours truly. Teleport out my home body for comfort. I don't pass judgment, past life regressions. Keep me in question, where did I come from? I don't think like I used to. No, I don't blink like I used to. Aqua stares at everybody. See the flesh of man, but still this man compared to nobody. Yesterday I prayed to the flowers and trees. Gratification to the powers that be. Synchronization with my energy chakras. The ghost of Dr. Sebi. Paid it forward, cleaned out my toxins. Bacteria heavy, sciatica nerve pinch. I don't know how to feel, like the first time I fucked a white bitch. The first time I fucked a white bitch, I was 16 at the palace.
There is lots going on in that song, as you can hear there, and that just...
It's a complicated song, and if you want to hear our thoughts on the kind of the misogyny embedded within it, go and listen to our Kendrick Lamar episode, because we do kind of deal with the fucked a white bitch thing. In that
I have
episode.
A couple other tracks actually. In terms of guest verses, I would nearly nominate LP on the Billy Woods song Heavy Water. Let me see if I can find the actual verse.
First Benzino rode back on a black Pegasus, Medusa's head in his sack, Senegalese twist, snaking out the bag. I come bearing gifts, rat fleas, came back, black exorcist. Clarence 13X had the white girl sick, shimmy down the steps with the wink. Yacubian experiments gain a function in the kitchen sink. The stage plot was 108 mics, 2 centrifuges, a HEPA filter glove box, brand new offline computers.
Simulation rebooters, new version of Gunner from Light, the voice useless. We saw a stab in the back, he two brutus, brutalist blue boys moving, they shooting. Nothing new, Google Chrome is confusing. Welcome home to the truth, big crime proof. It's a ruse, you a feeder, what I use, throw the deuce. Come and hang with the gang, all time slang, wanna prove, say it, double, yeah. The crew, fuck it,
my fight
I would also nominate one of the songs on this album, not the Doldrums this time, but 9X, the opening verse from Billy Woods on this. Let's have a quick listen to that.
Quinine powder and alcohol stir until dissolved. The future isn't flying cars, it's Rachel Dollars all absolved. It's autonomous computers sending shooters back in time at the behest of default message boards. Translucent man of war tentacles caress my paramour, implore the bitch to be sensible. The slave master children all looked identical. True, the future is children, but whatever future you building already look miserable. Natural beauty, savage Fenty, we strip mined minerals. The trailer is the movie Bobby Digital.
That is more of a kind of stream of consciousness or like very dense kind of style. And I think we have to kind of give it up for the master of shifting white powder and writing raps about them is Pusha T, of course. My favorite actual rap verse probably, or rap song maybe this year, is Pusha T, Just So You Remember. And I think I will nominate it for... It's in the running for favorite rap beat, so I'm going to pick... Let's play a bit of that now, because it has that... It is a great sample. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to nominate it for best use of sample, because I love this sample. And then I have another...
Remember who you dealing with. The number don't change. I know who the chemist is. Brick by brick, we kept open dealerships. Mitch by Mitch, we built up our villages. Seeing you rappers apply for the stimulus. Living a lie, but die for your images. It's guns involved like cowboys and Indians. You track hawk niggas are not my equivalent. Flew your bitch to Cuba for the thrill of it. But I ain't go to show you what you should have did. Tennis chains to hide all my blemishes. My joker smile, you know who the villain is. Just so you remember who you dealing with. Look outside, the landscape ridiculous. Motion lights around it meticulous. Architectural digest my premises. She just spent $1 million on the finishes. Millionaires were made out of middlemen. That hole in the attic was not for a ceiling fan. Army Celine, the wardrobe is militant. And army fatigue when I talk pyramids. Just so you remember who you dealing with. The purest snow, we selling white privilege. Designer drugs will turn niggas limitless. Designer clothes, these hoes losing innocence. The book of blow, just know I'm the Genesis.
As you come out to the light, can your eyes behold the sight?
I love that track anyway. That is Colonel Bagshot's 6 Day War. I think I first heard that when DJ Shadow sampled it, and so I really like how he uses it there in terms of punctuating those lines. Another rap beat I love this year was from Earl Sweatshirt from Titanic earlier in the year, which starts like this.
Get to you straight, no frills. What I think might pay the bills. Spit on the cam like Machiavelli. Came home in the 2011. Pasadena John calling me, really ain't nowhere. None of this shit was headed.
I ain't even know.
Intellect not gon' protect me. Bro just crashed, fucked up his Dodge. Now he's shopping for another Hemi.
Escape from rock and wreck the wheel.
Did a dash, got out of Dodge.
That was a really good album actually this year. Earl Sweatshirt's Sick. It came out very early on. And it's quite short as well. And has loads of that discombobulating music on it. And I really liked what he does there on that song, Titanic. One more favorite sample is actually a very prolific artist, West Side Gunn. He teams up with Blackstar, who I mentioned in Songs of the Year, Blackstar, Talib Kweli, and Mos Def. And this song is called Peppers.
Bye. Ain't well elegant, born by the miracle. Clash still perennials, point of sight when the terrible. Graveyard footfall, sound guy very sight. Batman, Earth Slam, Joker to the Tanzanite. Matte black dynamite, blast radios, black radio. Core capability, fly go facility. Fly guy, do or die, bed style, energy, simplify, B-E-Y. These hoes hilarious, with cardiac serious. Cartier tanked up, blow the central bank up. Told where you bank truck, nah baby it ain't luck. Days without a wave, we prayed and we made one. See the God grace us with flavors and fountains. X amount of mountains, X amount of X amount is countless. The wizard is a fraud, what you afraid for? saw a lot of thunder, no rainfall. Keynote considered glowing, gift the geometric showing 11.
Stars of the story got it moving different. Goofy niggas, they hate being the jeans, look, it's their true religion. If it isn't love, it must be.
That's the two Black Star boys there. The sample is from Every Little Beat of My Heart from Flashlight from 1978. Here's a sample that's used. That kind of has a little bit of a maybe old Kanye soul kind of sample buzz to it. I think it's really great. That is the conductor who did that. That's West Side Gun. You didn't hear him there, but he was very prolific this year, as he always seems to be. Yeah, that's, I think, all my rap choices. You got anything else there?
Cool. No, nothing in rap. I have two choices left. How many have you got left?
Three.
Okay. Give us one of yours then.
All right. Well, here is an old... song I played, old album I played a lot, which doesn't really fit anywhere else. Womack and Womack, album called Conscience from 1988. I listened to this a lot this year, bought it on vinyl. It was in my heavy rotation. And here's a lovely song called Life is Just a Ball Game from it.
The highlight of a player's dream. Oh, life is just a ball game. We play jackpot, win it all.
Yeah, that was in my heavy rotation this year. Another one, actually, just follow that up briefly, is a song from a reissue, because it's not one I would have included in my album of the year, but I'd only heard it for the first time. It's the Staples singers, Staples Junior singers, so Staples family, Mavis Staples and her dad and all her sisters. I'm Looking for a Man is the name of the song from the album When Do We Get Paid, which was one I listened to a lot this year.
I'm looking.
Yeah, I came out in May, and I really loved that. Obviously, it's a bit of a classic sound, and from 1975 as well. Reminded me of seeing them in the Summer of Soul as well. So just amazing band.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So my
released on David Byrne's label, Luwaka Bop, or however you pronounce that one.
Yeah. Okay. My second last award goes to the most willfully misunderstood lyric by people. And the winner is the lyric, "Sometimes I Feel Like Everybody Is a Sexy Baby" by Taylor Swift from the song Antihero. We all knew what she meant. The discourse was silly and you should feel silly if you got involved in it.
What does it say about us?
What does it say about us? We're having problems with this. And also, that's just a great song. Best Taylor Swift song of the year? Probably.
Yeah, funny. I mean, I didn't see her album in a lot of lists this year. It wasn't very high up, but not that she needs it, but I guess it's a barometer of something, whether it actually hit. In terms of, let's turn a bit negative before we finish for a bit. Mm-hmm. Do you actually have a nomination for most disappointing album of 2022?
Oh, most disappointing album.
You can think about that. And you can tell me what you're...
I'll mull it over here while you tell me about yours.
You have a worse song as well, don't you?
I have a worse song of the year, yeah. But that's a different thing.
Okay. Well, I think most...
I had no expectations for this artist.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, fair enough. Well, okay. I'll tell you my most disappointing album of 2022 is probably Mitski's album, Laurel Hell. I was really gunning for it and really wanted to like it, but I just... it did not land with me at all. I just don't think it really works that well. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it feels like it's trying too hard to reach a larger audience almost. And it's just fails a little bit, and it loses some of the magic that she, I know she has in her songcraft and production and stuff as well. Sometimes things can just sound a bit too middle of the road almost, but yeah, I don't think it's great, and it was quite disappointing.
I liked that album, but I kind of felt about it. I mean, I think I gave it a pretty high score on the Irish Times, but I did kind of feel it was like the Angel Olsen album. Was it Mirrors?
Yeah.
The one that went really big. And I like Mitski the best. Like my favorite album of hers is Bury Me at Makeout Creek. That one, yeah. Which is really, really toned down and kind of, you know, just a kind of, what's the word? Lo-fi and like not, it doesn't have the big thing. And I suppose trying to follow up an album like Be the Cowboy is difficult because that was her big album. That was her moment. You know, it's what a lot of people kind of consider to be her best album. I really liked the Mitski album, but I definitely understand the criticisms that I've read about it and the criticism that you have about it. I felt like it didn't sound very much like the Mitski I know and love. It kind of sounded like a film soundtrack that she's done or something, do you know? It was very much outside of her wheelhouse. But I thought where she went with it was good. But yeah, I'd definitely accept that as a disappointing album.
Tell me this,
in 2022.
I haven't heard you mention him yet, so I have to ask. Father John Misty, Chloe in the Next 20th Century.
Oh, I loved it. I loved that album. Yeah, that's like a really big like kind of sleeper album for me. Like I've gone back to it a few times, and I think it's really nice that he put out this kind of weird concept album where he was playing around with like 20th century like film scores and different kinds of music, and that it wasn't like, I don't think he expected it to hit in the same way that like maybe Pure Comedy or like basically any of his albums after Honey Bear. It felt like just like a labor of love for him and something that he wanted to put out. But he has kind of like, you know, removed himself from like the public consciousness. Like he's not really a very public figure anymore. So it does feel like he worked on this and he wanted to put it out, and it was an experiment that he wanted to do. And I really, really liked it. I thought it was a great album.
I thought you might have liked it. Actually is something, two things that were very noticeable this year in terms of musical trends, and is that kind of old fashioned Hollywood strings.
Hugely.
Wiseblood as well would be fit in that.
Adele,
of course. Was that this year? Was Adele's album this year?
Yeah, God. I think so.
Okay, wow. And then, of course,
well, I think she definitely ushered it into
It was happening.
The, kind of the pop music realm, realm rather.
And I guess you could say Angel Olsen does a bit of that as well on the new album.
She does, yeah. I mean, you know, we're 22 years into this century. So it's, you know, we always talk about that kind of that cycle. Like, I think at this point now, it makes sense that we start to kind of look back at the 20th century and reassess or choose the things from it that we like or leave the things out that we don't like and just kind of look at it through like either a critical or an artistic lens. Like 22 years feels like enough time passed since the millennium to kind of go and take that look back. Yeah, it, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of 90s stuff, but the other thing that was very prevalent this year was in terms of big records was obviously house music and Beyonce and Renaissance, and then to a lesser extent, but we won't dwell on it, but Drake and the album that he released, whatever it was called, I'm an Annoying Guy, by Drake. Which Drake does have that song Massive on it, which I still kind of like, oh, I like it. I wish I didn't like it. Do you know that kind of way? Mm. Oh, he's so annoying. Yeah. Anyway, how many albums did he put out this year? Do you even know? I mean,
no.
Annoying.
I didn't listen to a single Drake song this year.
Fair play to you. Fair play.
I'm trying to practice self-care.
Honestly,
I
never
just
mind.
Do not like
it?
His music, honestly.
Her loss. I mean, come on. What are you talking about? Anyway. I had to bring him up. Sorry. I did it.
That's okay.
I did it. What about your worst song or most annoying song?
Okay, I have a funny feeling we've the same song for this.
I don't know. I actually struggle with this, so you might have picked a better one than me because I couldn't really think of okay. one, which is good.
Well, my one comes from an artist called Leah Kate, and it's called Twinkle Twinkle. It's all bad.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that.
Like it's obviously the lyrics are horrendous, like genuinely horrifying. But it's also just the blatant Olivia Rodrigo ripoff. And I don't like using the word, like I feel like artists are free to borrow from one another. And Olivia Rodrigo has obviously like influenced a whole fucking generation of girls who want to sing in kind of like a pop punk style and be a bit cheeky with it or whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. But like, this is not how you do it. It's someone should have stepped in. And I mean, I think this person is quite young. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah.
I know absolutely no. Like, I mean, I only knew that her name was Leah Kate today.
Okay. It's probably TikTok, like, is it?
Yeah, I think it's TikTok. But like, everyone on TikTok was like really mean about the song.
Yeah, like.
But it's bad. Yeah. It's bad. So she wins the worst song of the year / what was the song? What was our least favorite song ever?
Dance Monkey one? No.
Yeah.
The Dance Monkey Award, was it?
Worst song. Yeah, the Dance Monkey Award for worst song of the year goes to
well, I think I managed to relatively escape unscathed in terms of really bad songs that stuck with me, but I did hear one last week and I was like, oh my God, it's so bad. And the reason it's so bad, because it's, first of all, it's David Guetta and Babe Rexha, and it's interpolates
Niall, enough said.
Eiffel 65's Blue.
Oh, this, I hate this. You know what, Niall?
It's ruined.
That song's huge on TikTok. I hate that for so many. Like, it's my least favorite thing ever, which is music about going to the club, about what a good night we're going to have. Nobody needed to take that melody and do anything with it. There's absolutely no business going near Blue by Eiffel 65. It was a moment in culture. It happened. We can move on from it. I've no problem with the song Blue.
For like, someone like David Guetta, who ended racism in 2020, to go that route is just so disappointing.
It's disgusting. I hate that song. It's absolutely massive on TikTok. Like, it's on, you like get ready with me's makeup tutorials. Like, there's videos that I would have watched if that song wasn't in the background, and people miming to it. And oh God, I think that's actually even worse than Twinkle Twinkle.
It's bad.
Twinkle Twinkle is a bad song, but
anything that interpolates like a nursery rhyme is usually pretty bad, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to interpolate like Blue by Eiffel 65, like that's also bad. It's bad. But I mean, to be fair, I don't think there was a lot of like very, very bad music that made it into like the public.
Yeah, to be honest, I think, like I said, I didn't really hear a lot of bad music. Or one certainly that haven't stayed with me in terms of like sheer disgust this year. So yeah, I mean, that's a good year in my book.
yeah. I mean, I don't think there was like loads of like, you know, game-changing five-star albums at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I feel like to look at this year, it's very, very clear that there was a pandemic that began 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, we expected a bit of a dip in terms of like even just the amount of output that artists are gonna have. But you know, albums like Big Thief, Beyonce, even the Harry Styles album I thought was really good. Kendrick Lamar, like there were really, really strong albums this year, but I feel like there wasn't like one that there wasn't like a Blonde or a Lemonade. You know, I know both those albums came out in the same year, but like there's no like,
well, Renaissance big, probably the closest
this is
to
the
that.
One album,
right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but Renaissance, even like, I don't know. I still feel like that's one of the more divisive Beyonce albums. Like it's not talked about in the way that Lemonade was talked about. Do you know what I mean?
I guess it has a narrow focus, and it's not as carefully constructed, maybe as well. It's got a bit of it's not as clean cut as the other ones, and it shouldn't be either because it's the kind of album it is. Set like a DJ mix, and it's one I've appreciated more and more when I go back to it.
Me too, absolutely. Me too. Like I said last week, it's only kind of clicked at me in the past like couple of weeks.
And then there's other things that are quite. We talked about this on the Discord actually recently about, you know, people like I was saying I don't understand the success or the wild success of Steve Lacy and that song Bad Habit. I don't really understand.
I like it. I like the song, but
it's fine. But it just
who
doesn't
named
seem
it their song of the year. Was it? It was either the Guardian or Pitchfork. One or the other named it the song of the year. I think it was the Guardian. It's
fine.
A good song. It will probably sit comfortably around like 25 or 30 on a list like that.
That's what I'm getting at. I can't understand why it's so popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's
a
bit of Steve Lacy and Bad.
Too late to pursue. I bite my tongue, it's a bad habit. Kinda mad that I didn't take a step at it. Thought you were too good for me, my dear. Never gave me time of day, my dear. It's okay, things happen for reasons that I think are sure.
I think I like it because it reminds me of Mac Miller a little bit. It sounds like a song that could have been on Circles.
It's just so plain or something. I don't know. Like it's so like.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I like the kind of boppy, like strange instrumental like tones in it. I think it's got a good hook.
I don't think many people are reacting to that. It's just funny. Like that obviously is one of the problems with TikTok that we were talking about last week in terms of about a song like this where people only know the chorus and then that really embarrassing video of Steve Lacy performing it, everyone singing along to the chorus and then not knowing the rest of the verses and he just being like, oh, right, wow, you really don't know anything. I need the rest of it beyond the hook here. Okay, embarrassing for me and for you. But yeah, I mean, that is probably one negative part of TikTok. But let's talk about our favorite movies, TV and books before we close out the year. The podcast awards.
So for TV, I have, well, it was two, but now I've got three because I remembered that one of them came out this year. My TV of the year, and I'll decide on the best one, was White Lotus, The Bear, and Euphoria, season two. I think it was a brilliant year for TV. I think it was a really, really, really strong year for television. And I know that television is in a bit of a crisis at the minute, like the whole HBO Max thing, which I didn't know anything about until I saw Jen Gannon recently. And she was telling me about like shows that are in the middle of their second season, just being pulled and, you know, like production companies just like going bankrupt and it's gonna get really hard to like watch your favorite show on streaming like over the next few years. So if you like a TV show a lot, go and buy the DVD or the Blu-ray, like own the physical copy of the thing, because that seems to be what's going to happen. But that said, brilliant year for TV. I thought The Bear in particular, you know, because it was the first of an original series that had nothing to do with any other kind of any other kind of franchise or anything, just an original self-contained season of television. I don't know if it's been renewed or not. I mean, I assume
it has been. It has to be.
Yeah, but like it doesn't need to be. Like it wraps up in a really nice way. really easy to watch, just like despite the fact that it's like it's Uncut Gems in a kitchen. And it's so anxiety inducing, but like I think the best episode of television I've seen this year is like the second last episode of that, with the one shotter, because it was just it was so gripping. Every performance in it is brilliant. The characters are nuanced. They're not kind of, you know, these kind of very rote, very familiar characters. Like, they have familiar issues and struggles, you know, there's like the return of the hero and all of that stuff, but like, yeah, it was just brilliant. I thought Euphoria was excellent. And even just as a cultural moment, season two of Euphoria was great. I loved going onto Twitter. I think it was like a Monday it was released. I've just realized that all three of these shows are HBO as well, so I mean, they are the best.
I give some other shout outs to Severance this year. Absolutely. A brilliant show. The ending of
Bad Sisters.
Yeah, Bad Sisters, of course, based on another show, not like you said, but a lot of them are White Lotus.
But still an original
as well, isn't it?
Script.
The Rehearsal, Nathan Fielder, of course, the bizarre man himself.
Love that man.
My partner can't watch it. So I have to watch it on my own.
Oh, she's not
viscerally upset by him. And then the ending of Better Call Saul as well this year, which I very much enjoyed, kind of wrapping up. And also Atlanta brilliant. As well. Atlanta finished this year as well with basically had two seasons in a year. In terms of films I really enjoyed this year, the first two of that trilogy, X and Pearl, with Mia Goth in it, I thought they were really good. For what they were, like, for horror films, really well done. The Worst Person in the World, very nuanced, interesting,
brilliant
film. I loved that. Boiling Point, if we're talking about a companion to The Bear, if you're looking for stress inducing kitchen drama, that'll give you that. That Stephen Graham stars in that. The film Limbo, which is about refugees who live on a small island off Scotland, and their kind of situation being like forgotten about, essentially, which is really amazing, really good. After Sun, which I saw recently, which is very moving.
Yeah, I'm going to see that in the next few days.
It's really fantastic, and there's a brilliant scene which uses Under Pressure, Bowie and Freddie Mercury, really well done. In terms of best music film, we did a whole podcast about it. Nothing Compares, the Sinead O'Connor story. We did a whole podcast. You can go and listen to that. You should watch that film if you haven't seen it. Nothing Compares. Sinead O'Connor is ahead of her time and remains so.
For music film of the year, I'd like to give a shout out to Moon Age Daydream as well.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Which I thought was almost brilliant. Yeah, I really loved that.
I enjoyed Meet Me in the Bathroom, but probably not as much as I would have liked. It can't really live up to the book. There's just so much detail in the book, and this is a much more straight telling, but it is a lot of fun if you're interested in New York in the early 2000s and the AAs and the Strokes and LCD and all that. Very, very good. I want to thank you, Andrea, for recommending a book to me this year, Piranesi. This is Anna Clark book. That was. I'm looking for more stuff like that. I really enjoyed
I have more for you.
Great. Well, I'll shout out.
The Betrayals is the book you should read next.
Okay.
I'll find it. I'll find it now.
I'll find it. Bridget Collins.
Bridget Collins, The Betrayals. A brilliant way to follow. No, it's different.
I don't want the same thing.
But it's a really good follow-up. And then I'd actually go from that to the Secret History. If you haven't read The Secret History, they're all in that kind of like dark academia vibe.
Cool. Lovely.
My book of the year is an Irish book. It's The Colony by Audrey McGee. It's a story of a Irish-speaking island where everybody speaks Irish, and two men come to visit over the summer. One is a linguist from France who is studying the Irish language in like communities that only speak Irish, and the other is an English painter. and they both come to visit the island, and the painter comes to like he wants to paint the island, but the islanders aren't that happy with him like painting them. And it's a story about like who gets to represent communities, who gets to kind of gatekeep these communities, and what does it mean to be a scholar or an artist that is dealing in communities that, you know, that you don't come from. And it is absolutely like gripping and brilliant, and I cannot recommend it enough. I've seen it on some lists. My books of the year is going to come out in the Business Post over the next few weeks, I think, and it's in there. It was my number one book of the year. Cannot recommend it highly enough. The Colony by Audrey McGee is phenomenal.
Lovely, brilliant. That's a great recommendation. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Finally, my only other book that I really could recommend this year that I remember reading is Crying in H Mart, Michelle Zonier's memoir about her mother. She, of course, is Japanese Breakfast, the musical artist. I bought it in New York on in the airport. I bought it in the airport and brought it home with me. And,
no shame.
No. I just couldn't remember the word for airport there for a second. Oh. God, Niall. It's nearly time to give up for the rest of the year now, but not just yet. But it's about her growing up being a Korean American, and a lot about food and the food that she, culture that she shares with her mother and the family from Korea. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
I'll just give a couple more book recommendations. Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus is about a woman in the 1950s, 1960s who is a scientist and is kind of roped into presenting a sort of Julia Child style cooking program. And it's about kind of feminism and the sciences and work that you do at home. It's absolutely brilliant and again gripping. And then another is I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. I'd particularly recommend the audiobook for it because she reads it brilliantly. But Jeanette McCurdy, former Disney star, writing her memoir about her mom, who was an abusive, horrible, horrible woman. But it's not as it's written with a light touch. It's a very, very serious book about a very, very serious topic, but she writes brilliantly about it and she deals with that topic brilliantly. And the cover for it is just incredible. She's like smiling and holding an urn and this confetti coming out of the urn. And then I'm Glad My Mom Died is the title.
I've seen it in the bookshops the last couple of weeks.
It's such a fucking baller move. And then the last one I'll recommend is Trouble by Maurice Gauhan. I'm never sure. Gauchan. I'm never really sure how to pronounce that. Who is an Irish comedian who doesn't live in Ireland anymore, but it's a memoir about her troubles with addiction and her father's troubles with addiction and how those two kind of inform each other. Funny book, but I like the Jeanette McCurdy one, also very serious topic, but dealt with brilliantly and written excellently.
Great. Well, there's loads there.
Yeah.
Always nice getting a book recommendation from you, Andrea. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Steer me right. Okay, I think that's it for us this year, perhaps.
Yes!
Am I saying that in real life? I am saying it.
I know.
Thank you all for listening to any episode that you did listen to this year and joining us at any point, and obviously
and sharing
right now.
Us and recommending us. Like I mentioned it last week, but we looked at the Spotify podcast stats and I was like a bit overwhelmed by them, so there's a lot of you listening out there who we don't interact with, who aren't in the Discord or who we don't know on Twitter or who aren't in Ireland, and we just want to show you guys a bit of love as well. If you don't want to reach out, that's fine, but it's really nice to know that you're here and you're listening and supporting us and sharing us, and thanks for everything this year, all of you. And also, this was the year that the Discord started, Niall. And I have to say, it's been like such a brilliant community that has just built up.
It's our first full year of the Discord, for sure. Yeah,
first full year of the Discord, yeah. And it's just been amazing. And it's been really nice to Discord.
You know, it just kind of takes you back to, especially when in this world of like Elon Musk going Twitter and all this rubbish, you're like,
yeah,
oh, just a nice
it keeps
to
me
have
off Twitter,
a little place where you can just chat to people and not and. It isn't automatically descending into people shouting at each other, which is, you know.
I haven't seen a single argument in the Discord, like legitimately, apart from the day when I went mad about people, about the dance in the moonlight gate. But like just the best people. And I know we plugged it already, but if you do want to join the Patreon, you get loads of stuff from Niall. You get like DJ sets and playlists and loads of stuff, and then you can also join the Discord, and the Discord's lovely.
It is,
and you're welcome to join the Discord if you're not in Ireland. Important to say as well, you don't have to like be here where we are to join it.
I have to say Discord is a great community. It's a great platform as well, so hopefully
it is
long may continue. And we're going to be back next year. I guess we're taking a few weeks off, at least a few weeks off. We might not. We're gonna play it by ear and see how we get on in January. And
we haven't discussed it yet, but we'll take a break.
But last year we think we did take a longer break, and sometimes it's necessary to do that. We'll come back. Technically, what we're going to call season 3 of the 909 music podcast.
Season 3?
Yeah, because it's kind of by year really now. Even though I only decided
this is
that this year.
Podcast awards.
Is it? Yeah, well, the first season was very long. The first season was very long
because
I never counted it. But we do now.
We do. Yeah. We do now. We'll be back anyway.
All right. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Enjoy your holidays. Stay
safe.
Enjoy your break.
Stay warm.
Andrea, you especially. Thanks so much for being a great co-host. And
thank you, Niall, for having me.
Have a great Christmas, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Great.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.